about.
Are we really doing this?
Yeah, we're doing it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. Anyway, I don't normally play drum machines because I hate drum machines, that's why. But I'm going to slip this one in because it's Depeche Mode, brand new one from Depeche Mode. This is called So Much Love from Depeche Mode on K-Rock.
Honestly, it's hard to listen to what's said in this room.
Hey, listen, asshole. And I never used cussing in 22 years, but the gloves are off. Listen, you son of a bitch. What the f*** your problem? You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch. You piece of shit. You goddamn Listen, kid. You f***ing crossed the line. Get that through your goddamn head. Stop pushing your shit. You got that, you goddamn son of a bitch?
And now.
Why did you use that language?
Our feature presentation.
Well, he's an angry man. I think that's where that language comes from.
I think he sounds chill.
Hey, party people. Welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's a Thursday, and it's the 17th. Of January.
Yeah.
Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Jensen.
Hi.
Chip.
Hi, Bean.
Kevin.
On my way. 5:35. I'm close.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I can't quite hear you. Can you get closer to the mic, please?
I'm on my way. Coming in.
So raining. So much rain. Oh, everyone. I have three voices.
Driving real fast.
All at the same time.
Nobody knew it was raining.
cough.
You guys know what today is the anniversary of?
No.
January 17th. Big day in Southern California.
I mean, what could it be?
Oh, is it the earthquake?
25 years ago and 57 minutes ago. 25 years and 57 minutes ago was the Northridge earthquake.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. 4:31 a.m., January 17th, 1994, a hidden fault lurking under the city's San Fernando Valley neighborhoods unleashed a magnitude. Do you remember?
7.1?
6.7. 6.7 earthquake. But Ali, you could be forgiven for that because I think initially it was reported and then it was graded
down.
Yeah,
I turned off the news after that.
You never heard about it again after that.
Also, big conspiracy theory about it always around my neighborhood. I grew up in Woodland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up in Woodland Hills. Uh-huh. You also grew up in the valley. Near the valley?
Yeah, I was at BC at the time.
There you go. We had always heard,
uh-huh.
again, conspiracy theory, that it was a 7.1 and that there was like some weird insurance thing to get it down below 7.
So they wouldn't have to pay as much?
That's what I always heard.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a total lie. I was in, you know, high school. But
yeah.
You made it up.
Yeah.
It's yours.
I am remembering, I know that I have heard the tape because our late dear friend, Space and Scott Mason, was on the air at K-Rock and had the mic open mm-hmm. when the earthquake hit. And I know that I feel like, unless my memory is playing tricks on me, that I've heard that tape of him on the air when the earthquake hit. And I'd love to find that again. That would be a cool piece of radio history.
For sure.
Kevin and I were doing the morning show back then. And we both made it in on time, which was shocking to me because, you know, there was a lot of turmoil, particularly I lived in the Santa Clarita Valley at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where Kevin lived, but you remember that 14 freeway had collapsed.
Right.
And I must have been heading that way within 20 minutes or so of the earthquake actually happening. And they already had everything cordoned off and they already have alternate routes planned out. I mean, they already had police on the scene who were directing traffic. I mean, I remember listening to KNX at the time, hearing the details of the road closure ahead because of the collapsed freeway, and I was thinking how incredible it was that they already had that in place around
them. I hear what you're saying. False flag. Never happened, right? Totally faked.
It's the government putting their eyes onto the earthquake so that they can do whatever they want behind the scenes.
I hear I'm picking up what you're putting down, Bean.
Frogs are gay.
I wasn't thinking that at all. I was just so impressed that they already had a way to get past that road that had closed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It really surprised me. And if I remember, hey Kevin,
hey,
if I remember, we all of us showed up on time that morning at 5:30, even though the earthquake had happened less than an hour before, and it was just, you know, this was pre real internet availability, and it was just you know, watching TV to try to find out what was going on. I mean, you know, there was so much confusion because it did damage in so many places, particularly close to the epicenter. But that was a bizarre morning. What do you remember about it, Kevin? What was your commute like, or how you woke up that morning? Were you still in bed or awake?
Are you talking about the earthquake in 92?
25 years ago today.
I got woken up. And the only thing that I really remember is when I was driving to work, I looked down a street and there was huge fires from buildings that were on fire. And then there was also like water mains had broken and they were shooting up into the air.
Geysers.
That was happening a lot.
Water and fire at the exact same time. Ugh. It was amazing. It did feel like the end of the world.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I'm happy to tell you guys.
It did feel like
it seemed
that.
Like it was the
especially
end of the
world. In the darkness. Yeah. So you were still in bed. You were shaken out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I was actually in middle school.
Was it a gentle rolling motion, Kevin, or would you say that it was jerkier than that?
I'd say it was, you know, kind of a mixture of a gentle rolling and then sort of pretty harsh.
Okay.
Yeah, it turned. It changed.
Anything fall off your walls or window, like your window shake?
No.
Chandelier?
No.
No. And any, like, Hummel figurines? That's my Allie, favorite.
You know my Allie collection.
Did the news.
Yep.
You know my collection.
Yeah.
The ground shook horizontally and vertically for up to 10 seconds, most strongly in an area 30 miles in diameter around LA's Northridge earthquake, and most of the damage, remember, was that apartment unit that collapsed. 16 people died in there. Now, how close were you to the epicenter, Jensen?
That's pretty close. I was in Woodland Hills, so just a couple exits.
And you obviously would have been asleep as a high schooler at 4:30.
Actually, I was in middle school, and I had a friend sleeping over. And I remember, I jumped up. My father ran from his bedroom down to, I guess, help me.
Aww.
He got hit with a hand-me-down antique slot machine. It fell off and cut his back open.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like bleeding and everything. And
you were like, what did you do to the pinball machine?
Yes.
And the, Dad, you dick.
finally won on it. And so I remember us getting up and walking outside, as everyone did, and this weird alarm silence. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Tons of alarms going off, but also weirdly
eerily
silent.
Eerily quiet.
And so we went up the block, and one of our neighbors had one of those overhanging like garages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like those slats and people park under them.
Right.
It's when you can't fit all your cars in the garage. That had collapsed onto both of their cars. Ooh. So, like, it was just a huge garage, two flattened cars. It was, I mean, there was crazy stuff around us. Like, there's a restaurant on Ventura Boulevard called China Garden. It's been there, it's still there. But at the time, it completely was demolished. It crashed from the in, like, everything went
inward.
In the middle.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yikes.
It is hard to get your head around that kind of stuff.
Still
you look
is.
At it and you go, can I, did that really happen? That's crazy.
Yeah, still is.
I mean, there have been a few earthquakes, obviously, since then. But that, for those of us who lived in Southern California at the time, that's the one that sticks in our mind. That was the biggie for sure.
Yeah.
57 people died in the earthquake, but then they put out a study the following year, raising the death toll to 72 once they factored in things like heart attacks and people who died as a result of, being...
Fear.
Having medical issues and things like that were exasperated by the earthquake.
I don't think
9,000 people
diarrhea.
Injured. No. Well, I hope not.
The fear, sorry.
Not. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
But anyway, 25 years, you guys. So I thought it was worth a mention.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm glad it hasn't been that bad since.
I know. The one who did get famous from being on the air was Ken Shocknick. Do you remember him?
Was he died under the table?
Under the desk?
Yes, he's the one who hid under the desk.
That was the
that
best.
Northridge?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He was like, and he like went under.
Wow.
And they called him, his name forever was Kent Aftershocknick.
Yeah.
Great nickname.
Great nickname. Chris Schauble took the crown.
Yes, his
from
is.
Channel 5.
Yeah.
I was live on the air with him, and they were about to throw it to me, and I was doing, one of my great live shots, I believe
with
it was
Alana.
On. Yeah, no, I believe it's actually Irish dancing.
Oh, okay.
But before they came to me, it started to shake, so they
this
call it.
This was a different earthquake, right?
Yeah, they call it quake face. So Chris Schauble just went, you could, see all those things happening in his face. It is one of the greatest memes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, his is good.
It's real good.
Good times, everybody.
Yeah.
Quakes, baby.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Oh, my God. You are coming in hot today. I like it.
RJ Bell on the program today talking about the NFL Division Championship game. There are two of them this weekend, including the Rams. Jensen has Get Up on This.
Mm-hmm.
We have animal stories on the program today.
Yeah, we do.
We I'm going to introduce you to your new favorite person. He might not be your new favorite person, but he is 750 pounds, and he's very happy with himself.
Okay.
Wow.
It's all good. He loves his life. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's going really well. Mm-hmm. And he can't fit into any clothes whatsoever.
Oh,
okay.
So he walks around naked.
Did he used to work on the Kevin and Bean show and then went to work security at the Jimmy Kimmel show?
No, no, that's Big Ted. That's a different
person. This is a different
person.
Guy.
Yeah,
different guy. Okay.
Yeah. So that's coming up this morning. Plus, your passes for Coachella and your chance to qualify to go to Reading Festival to see the 1975 and a whole lot more bands. Coming up this morning, we'll take a break. Is that it? That's it. Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Allie, Jensen pulled up the audio of Kent Shotnick Channel 4 25 years ago this morning when the earthquake hit. Will you give me like 20 seconds to play that?
Please.
This is the famous him hiding under the desk.
Happening right now. I'm not sure which. I'm going to get under this desk. I apologize for the theatrics.
And he's under the desk.
Okay. This is live. This is what's happening right now. And a word to the folks in the control room, if you're going to swear, we can hear it on the air, so we'll try to keep a sense of decorum.
Under the circumstances, with as big as that earthquake was, I give him a pass. That was fine.
Absolutely.
That's the safe thing to do, is to get under something, right? You don't know if the ceiling's going to collapse on you.
I have bad news. That's a different quake.
What? I didn't think they were live at 4
I'm
something
sorry.
In the morning.
Jensen. I'm sorry, but that's the most famous one.
It really is, yeah. I put those two together
news.
As well.
I did fake news. I called it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I look like an asshole. I
mean, well, 87 Whittier, 5.9.
This is all gone to pot.
Right?
I'm so glad this show isn't live till 6 a.m. Nobody heard that.
Me
although, hey, still a good clip.
Time Absolutely. For our first look at what's happening here with our good friend Allie McKay here on a Thursday morning. Take it away.
Who was the guy on Channel 4 that cried when his news van was... Chuck Henry.
My favorite.
Go from Chuck Henry, who didn't leave in time as a fire is barreling towards him.
And the fire department warned him and said, everyone get out.
Multiple times.
And he didn't.
And he didn't. So he's crying because the news van is burning up. While in a 5.9 earthquake?
Yeah.
Kent Shocknick's like, let's have a
sorry
sense of
for the theatrics.
Very different.
Talking about this clip.
I feel so badly for the people that lost their possessions. You know, the truck cares. Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it started. It wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside, and I couldn't see where to go. He just said, hey, Chuck, and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
They told him to leave.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think the fireman grabbed him and just whispered, I told you to get out, bitch?
I hope so.
I would have.
If you ignore a direct evacuation order from the fire department and then your van burns up, it's on you, Chuck.
For sure. Chuck Henry.
He's the best.
I don't know if we're saying that.
That's not what we're saying at all. Okay.
No. Did you guys hear about all of this going down yesterday? Reports surfaced yesterday claiming that Colin Kaepernick had approved of Travis Scott performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. It was announced that Scott would be performing under the condition that the NFL would donate $500,000 to the social justice organization Dream Corps. And then following that announcement, Variety reported that Scott consulted with Kaepernick, had phone conversation prior to agreeing to the Super Bowl. Then, according to Wrap Up, a source close to the rapper said that they didn't see eye to eye, but left with mutual respect and understanding. So, cool, right?
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good situation.
All right.
Well, then Colin Kaepernick started retweeting people like Ebro, the DJ. Cap did not approve this. Boop, get the boop out of here, retweeting the Variety article. Then he retweeted his girlfriend, who basically said there is no mutual respect and there is no understanding for anyone working against Kaepernick, period. Hashtag stop lying.
Rutro.
And then started retweeting articles and stories about how this Dream Corps organization seems to be the go-to with the NFL when they kind of want to smooth something over and just be like, we donated to this corporation.
Right.
So people are saying, oh, so you struck a deal with this company who keeps getting paid to have people not protest.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop f***ing lying.
That was his last retweet. So
Colin Kaepernick didn't tweet anything himself. He just retweeted other people making his point?
Right.
That's interesting.
Right. It's very interesting. Like, did Travis make up this whole story? Did his management make up the whole story? And Travis hasn't been able to say it's not what happened?
I could see someone who wants to do the Super Bowl having a phone call and him being like, dude, I don't agree with it. And he's like, well, I'm going to do it and I'm going to give $500,000 to, you know, Black Lives Matter or whatever. And he goes, I don't really want you to do it. And he goes, okay, man, well, you know, life will be life. And then he goes, well, we came to an agreement. And then Kaepernick's like, no, we didn't. Like, yeah. I can see how two different people could take that away, but I just can't believe management would push that messaging out.
If it's a false narrative and there was no agreement or understanding,
yeah,
that's a lie.
Yeah.
So you can claim you saw it one way, someone saw it another way, but we have a problem in this country of saying things are lies.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's not good.
It's very odd. Well,
let me ask you guys this, and I'm sorry to belabor the point, but I'm just thinking, is there any real fallout for Travis Scott? I mean, is this going to affect him, even if it's revealed that Colin Kaepernick didn't want him to do it and he did it anyway? I mean, it's not like people are going to protest his music, are they?
No, I think it's never.
I doubt it.
It's just a
street cred.
Yeah, just a little bit of a breakdown for him. But if something like this keeps happening, it will hurt him. But it's just something to remember, I think, for everyone.
Gotcha.
More, yeah.
Goes on as his permanent record.
Yes, yes.
Yes. You guys, I'm telling you the story for two reasons. One, well, it's the first line of the story. Nikki Sixx's home sweet home is about to grow by one. See, because Nikki Sixx was in Motley Crue and their big song was Home Sweet Home. But he's having a baby. Here's why I'm telling you this. Because in 2007, when it was suggested on a show that Nikki had a vasectomy, and maybe at some point he's going to want to reverse that.
Right.
And Nikki Sixx's response was, I would get a second operation just to make sure the first one works. Something changed.
Oh.
Because his wife is expecting their first child together and Sixx's fifth child total. So
that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
I don't, sir, I don't think we're saying that at all. The baby's going to grow up and be just fine.
You know what probably happened is he married a much younger woman. He thought he was all done with kids after four, but then he married a 25-year-old, and she was like, oh, no, I still want him.
No, this woman is old. She is 33.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. Gross, right?
Disgusting.
What are you doing?
What's the point of that?
Oh, my God. I can't even believe she can have kids.
Right? At 33? So late. Why wait so long?
Cobwebs.
You know what? I will get an email about that from a woman that's like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you don't understand we're
probably
talking.
Probably someone who's 31, though.
Right?
Totally doesn't get us. So
does it say how old Nikki Sixx is? He's got to be 60, right?
Okay. He is 60 and she is 33.
Yeah, about half your age. That's about right.
Which shockingly seems fine nowadays. 60 or 33. That's age appropriate. Ugh. Today is a big birthday day. Tiesto, Lil Jon, Calvin Harris, Michelle Obama, Kid Rock, Zooey Deschanel, Betty White, James Earl Jones, Steve Harvey, and Jim Carrey.
Man, there are a lot of winners.
Wow.
Wow. And Kid Rock.
Oh, right.
Animal stories on the program coming up later on today. Also, our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas. By the way, an aside here, Dave said yesterday that the line was only 3.5 in the Saints' favor yesterday.
Right.
Which,
that means it's an even game.
It means it's an even game.
Yeah. Because I think you get 3 points for being at home.
That's right. Yes. Is that good? Is that, that to me makes it sound like the people love the Rams is what it makes it sound to me like. The fact that the Saints aren't favored by more makes me think that the Rams are really good and have a real good shot at winning.
I mean, they're
that
calling
game,
it an
it
even game, basically. Both teams.
Yeah.
Could win.
It
yeah.
sounds like what they're saying is both teams are good and it's an even match.
Oh, right. Excellent.
That's what I heard.
Okay. All
excellent.
Right.
I just looked it up on the internet and I know all that stuff you just said.
Right.
And I get it.
Uh-huh.
But on the internet right now, it's saying it's basically like a coin toss, a 50-50,
really?
Even though the numbers are like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
No way.
Okay. That's cool.
Now, I have to ask you guys, because I do not have feet on the ground in Los Angeles as you do. Is there Rams fever right now? are we at the point where people are realistically hopeful for a Super Bowl for a Los Angeles-based football team for the first time in forever?
I've been talking a lot to my Ramily, and we all think it's a definite possibility.
You know what's weird, though? I think in this city it's much worse than other cities in that the city's so spread out. Yeah. The Rams fans aren't all together except for at a game, so it's kind of hard to tell.
And it's still relatively new.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I knew we had them when I was a kid, but like it's still football. Still
3 years.
Football's still kind of a new term here.
I mean, I feel like there should be a lot of excitement to be 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm sure there is. It's just I don't think there's enough people around.
Yeah.
And there aren't Rams flags for your cars.
Right.
And with the world ending, you know.
Sure with that.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So it is very exciting. We did a contest last week. We gave away tickets for Kevin B. Lister to see the Rams beat Dallas, you'll recall. And he tweeted out some very nice pictures from the stadium. Had a wonderful time. I don't remember his name, but I do remember...
Luke.
Was it Luke? Yeah.
I remember.
Let's ram it up with a little bit of his song, because it was awesome.
Gotta see the Rams, got to see them live. Gurley crossed the goal line, he is gonna die. Gotta see the Rams, gotta see the Rams. Are the Cowboys any good? Do they have enough? Aaron Donald says no, the run game he will serve. Gotta see the Rams, gotta see the Rams. Show is filling holes, their line kicking goals. Goff is slinging bullets, Rams are gonna roll. Gotta see the Rams. Gotta see the Rams.
Cook
down the field, he's going to explode. Gotta see the game with Wake Go. Wah, wah, wah.
Did you see that guy's picture? He posted a picture from the game?
Yeah.
Absolutely didn't expect him to look like that.
Really?
No, did you?
Did you think he would look like more hardcore, like a rapper?
No,
I
thought he would be younger and a complete stoner.
Oh.
Is what I was expecting.
Well, that was not the look.
So there's one game, they play the Saints, and then they're in the Super Bowl, and we go to Atlanta, right? Right?
Us as a show?
The team? The team, yes.
Well, the team goes, I'm saying, though, our radio show.
Our Ramily?
Sure, if you want to use that again.
Can I leave this Ramily?
I support Ramily, and I think it's a thing. Oh.
So the Ramily goes to Atlanta. That's where the Super Bowl is, right?
Oof,
I
would go to Atlanta for one reason and one reason only.
If the Rams were in the
Super
Bowl.
So the fact that the Rams are there would be a great thing on top of why
I'd go. That's not your
that's
reason.
That's separate, no. Okay. I don't know if I've mentioned it on air before, but the last time I was in Atlanta was during the Olympics.
Right.
And I was walking up Peachtree, and I had my hair in a ponytail. There's a reason I'm telling you this. Because sometimes when I have my hair in a ponytail, the way it swings can kind of look like a horse's tail. It's therapeutic to a lot of people walking behind me.
Let's call it a horse's butt.
We can. Anyway, walking up the street, and I hear clomp, 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 clomp. Clomp, 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 clomp. Like getting closer, and I'm like, is that horse like running up the street? What is going on? Had the carriage behind him, like one of those horse-drawn carriage.
Sure.
And my friend and I were laughing, like, oh, maybe it sees your ponytail. He's like super into it. Got to get me some of that. The horse came up alongside us, jumped over the curb.
What?
Now the guy in the carriage jumps out of the carriage as the carriage goes to its side, and the horse is now dragging the carriage towards me. You guys know how I react in certain situations.
Sure.
I was doubled over laughing because it was so weird, and who would expect... And then I was like, ooh, my friend grabs my arm. She's like, run! Because it was still coming towards us. Basically... bad situation, splayed out right in front of one of the hotels that had like marble in front of it. Wasn't expecting to run into like a marble ground. It was a bad situation.
So how does that play into us going to Atlanta?
I am going to avenge that whole situation by getting back at the man that should have stopped that horse from jumping over the curb.
Okay, because I was going to say the horse got to be gone by now.
How dare you?
You know what? She's going to use a ton of glue in Atlanta. She's just going to...
I'm going to craft.
Everywhere she goes, yeah.
Do you think the horse was in love with you, Allie? Is that what it was?
I would like to think so, yes.
You could have been mounted if things had gone differently.
I mean...
That's as...
What?
That's as good an excuse as any.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well go with that one.
Absolutely.
Since you don't know.
Yeah. No, I think the horse got spooked somewhere along Peachtree, and then it was just coming towards me. That's it.
Wow, Alan right. McKay, horse avenger. I
Thank
had no
you.
Idea.
Thank
wow.
you. I will avenge that horse's
death. Do you
death.
Know the guy?
No, but
how are you going to find?
Ask around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
yeah.
That sounds like a solid plan.
Thank you. I'm in.
I'm just saying, you know, we have what now? We have two weeks and a couple of days to plan it.
Okay.
All right.
So the Rams go, we go.
Right.
Right?
I mean, more
I'm
like
sure
Migos, been... right? Because Migos is from Atlanta and Migos. I'm going to sit this one
out. I'm kind
right,
of team, I'm kind of team horse.
On the Kevin and Bean Instagram stories right now, by the way, our daily t-shirt challenge between Jensen and me. Jensen, what are you sporting today?
Today I am wearing a promotional photo from the movie The Good Son between Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my God.
It is obscure and I brought out the big guns.
How old are they in that photo?
They are teens.
They look younger than that
even.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went old school animation. I'm wearing a Chilly Willy t-shirt today. If you remember Little Chilly Willy, the penguin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the choice. Which t-shirt do you like better? You can go to where do people vote on that? Do they go to Instagram?
At Kevin and Bean. They can go to the Instagram stories, or we put it on Twitter at Kevin and Bean.
And then whoever loses at the end of the year when we all tally up, whoever has lost the t-shirt challenge for 2019 has to leave the show.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's,
I didn't,
that's
wow.
That's
maybe
what we have.
Thought it was more of a good
that.
Spirit
yeah.
thing.
That's what
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, if you lose, you lose.
Oh. Seems aggressive.
All right, Kevin, I've rarely seen you as excited about a new TV show, and I don't know anything about it, so I am all ears. It's on TLC, is that right?
It's on TLC, and it's a spinoff of My 600-Pound Life.
A spinoff, okay.
Yes, a spinoff. And it's called Family by the Ton.
Oh.
Is this a whole family of extremely obese people
it's
rather
more
than just
than
focusing
one,
on
yes.
one?
It's not okay. always, it's not always you know, all of the family, but it is more than one.
Okay.
And I'm going to introduce you to Casey King from Georgia. Now, I did just post a picture and a YouTube video on my Twitter at TheKevinWriter with a Y. And I mean, you're going to hate it.
He's a big boy.
He's a huge boy. And here is his daily schedule.
A normal day for me is wake up around 12, figure out something I'm going to eat immediately, TV, video games, bed. It's not a lot of activity.
That's it. Boom. That's his whole day.
How
gets up at
he...
noon, plays video games naked, goes back to bed.
Okay, when does this get bad?
So far, it does sound like a dream life. Yeah. How does he support himself?
His dad. You'll find out that he lives with his mom, but his mom said, if you're going to live here, you need to have a job. And he left and he went to his dad's house. His dad just brings him food all day long, every day.
Oh man.
He's the worst dad ever. Hmm. So he spends 24 hours a day naked.
Okay.
Because clothes don't fit him. What a surprise. He sort of tries to kind of blame it on the heat, though. He says it's hot in Georgia. And so then he leads into my clothes don't fit. And I'm like, I don't think it's hot in Georgia has anything to do with your clothes not fitting. Mm. But here's that clip.
It's hot. It's hot in Georgia. And all my clothing is restricting and tight. So I just sit in there naked, free as can be. And no one bothers me. Door shut. We're good.
We're good. So he sits in his room on his bed, 100% naked, playing video games.
Now, I don't even know if I should bring this up, but if he were walking toward you naked,
yes,
you couldn't even see his junk.
Correct. His stomach hangs to his knees
practically, yeah.
It's not a good look.
I don't
if
see
If you
how...
want a new look for 2019, this is not the one you okay. want.
Still I waiting mean, so for when this is bad.
Okay,
let me know, when you get disgusted.
All right.
I feel terrible for him and
nope.
feel like he is going to die during this segment. He's so big.
Oh, he is going to die, but you should not feel sorry for him. And I'll play for you later why. He's doing a little bit of play-by-play while he's playing video games.
Oh, no. He's got that one gun that's going to kill me. Oh, no. He's weak. But I'm weak. Oh! I'm going to die. He's down. All right. I got to go in the kitchen and get stuff.
What stuff? What could he mean by stuff?
Maybe food?
I think probably like a salad.
Why does he like playing video games? Because he doesn't get judged by his weight.
I'm accepted in all those virtual reality worlds and the gaming world I'm in. No one sees me. That is my outside. That is my world that I can be the Casey I want to be, but not be judged on my weight.
Oh,
which is sad, which is fine. That's a sad kind of. Yeah. I understand that. And then, but then, he also just seems kind of proud of it a little.
He's fine with it. He's happy with it.
Okay.
It is. Does he ever leave the house, Kevin?
No.
Leave the house? I'm not sure he leaves those two rooms.
I don't think he leaves the room, no.
Yeah.
Here he says, this is not exactly how he saw his life going.
I never would have thought at 34 I'd be living with my father and I'd be have no job, have no real money, and just be playing video games all day and eating.
Now, is he saying that it rules or is he saying that it doesn't rule?
He's insinuating that it rules. He's not upset about this.
It's like when I say I never saw my life being on the Kevin and Bean show. I'm thrilled.
Right, right.
This is what he's saying.
It's sort of what he's saying, yeah.
Wow.
Is there any part of this where somebody comes in and tries to help him or tries to get him to change his mindset a little bit?
Not in the video that I saw. The video that I saw is just like a video that they put up for promotional purposes for the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's how he sort of describes his life so far.
I've always been a big kid. Out of high school, I was probably 300 something pounds. And then I got out of school, got a couple jobs at a couple restaurants. I ate at them. I was probably around 500 pounds then, and it was just getting too difficult to work, so I quit my job.
He has gained 400 pounds since high school.
Yes.
There's something deep-rooted.
Very few of us maintain our high school weights, Allie. Come on.
I mean, that's true.
700, and technically 707 pounds.
Wow. This show's concept is that they do come in and help them.
That's usually what it is.
Okay. Right.
But in this promotional clip, he makes no effort to even want that. He's not asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, check out my sweet life.
Yeah, no, he's on television to be like, isn't this awesome?
Right.
Yeah.
So here's another clip from Casey.
My mom said, to live in this house, you have to have a job. So she kicked me out, and the only place I had left to go was my father's. So I went there. Basically, his one thing that knew made me happy was food. So we just ate like kings, but like in the worst way. Pizzas, chicken, Japanese food, takeout. I mean, me and my dad would get hibachi delivered, sushi by the barrel. I mean, just anything you wanted to eat, we were getting.
No, that actually, my stomach actually growled.
What a horrible dad.
That's his dad. It's his only way to show love, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a terrible dad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally killing his kid.
Yeah.
So this is Casey Down. This is the final clip I have for you. And this is sort of why I don't feel all that. I do feel some sorry for him, but he sort of just has accepted this is how his life's going to go.
I was just eating until I'm dead, probably.
Oh, my gosh. Oof.
I'm still Team Casey.
I'm Team Casey.
I really want him to get help and get better.
Casey
really
admitted
do.
That he has gotten stuck in the shower a couple of times. One time he was left sitting there for 9 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
This is awful. Kevin, you find joy in this?
No, well...
Why are you dancing?
It's not that I find joy in it, but when you watch the video, you just go, this guy doesn't want help. He's okay with it. He loves playing video games.
That's part of why he needs help. Is he doesn't. Yeah, it's a sickness. He doesn't. He can't recognize what he's doing to himself.
Yeah, that's just addiction.
I need my dad's help a little bit to clean myself. You know.
Wait. Oh God! Please tell me you pulled that.
This is not a clip.
I don't care. No, I'm saying you saying it. Oh my God!
I need my dad's help a little bit to clean myself. You know. Wiping my ass because, I just can't reach everything on my back.
Good morning, everybody.
And I can't reach everything below me, so, you know, whatever.
Kevin just threw streamers in the air. It's unbelievable.
I don't like any of this.
I have a small update on him.
Yes.
Casey is serious about changing his lifestyle.
Oh, good.
It hasn't been easy for him. He's working on a new eating regimen recommended by a dietitian, but he is unable and unprepared to give up video games. Which will affect him because...
I mean, that's the problem, is he sits in bed all day playing video games. He does nothing else.
And he's
got dual addiction. Yeah.
The one thing I've enjoyed even when I was smaller was video games, King says. But he's not going to get over it. He's going to keep playing, he says.
They need some sort of a deal where he gets some video game time for every 10 pounds he loses or something like that.
And take it away. Yeah, but that would take a parent who cared.
And he's also 34.
Yeah, he's 34 years old.
That's the teenage move, I think.
Casey admitted that his life hasn't turned out the way he thought it would. I don't know anybody that grows up as a kid.
You don't have to do the Running Man while you're laughing, Kevin. Jesus.
It's a lot, right?
I mean, literally.
I'm just saying.
He just erected a banner that says, Die, Casey.
It is 6:52.
Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jensen introduces us to something we may not have heard of. Got a pretty good track record on this feature so far, by the way, Jensen.
Thank you. I'm doing well. I think today I will continue the streak.
Coming up just after 7 a.m., First Alley is here. Time for What's Happening on a Thursday.
I think when we all saw the headline, To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen arrested, we all went, oh, no.
Have a seat.
Have a seat. Do you want some lemonade?
Sweet tea.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything like what he would, you know, show on his show,
Thank
To Catch
God,
a Predator.
By the way. Right.
Thank God.
Let's make that clear that we're all delighted it wasn't a pedophile thing.
Yes. He was arrested Monday after writing $13,000 worth of bad checks. Apparently, in the summer of 2017, he spent about $13,000 on promotional items, hats, shirts, mugs from a local company, and paid them with a check that bounced. And the owner and Hansen went back and forth for a period of time, and he eventually gave him another check. That one bounced as well.
Wow.
So, no hug for me?
Mm-hmm. Police
is that a yes?
That's a yes, and it didn't go through.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Police issued a warrant for Hansen's arrest after he then refused to speak with them.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he should know how laws work.
You would think he would.
Very, I like to make love.
Okay, very
Would you
odd.
Get naked?
Sorry, we have these all day.
Okay. All right, do you want to just get him out
I
of here?
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Yeah, that's just a text he sent.
It will be nice. I think you will love it. And make it feel really good for you, hon.
Oh, God.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
All right. Keep in mind that these were pedophiles sending those
to I could probably teach you a few things.
Kids.
Did you bring condoms with you?
Real gross. Real gross.
I just hope this isn't all too good to be true, hee-hee. Laugh out loud. Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
I mean, how many do you have?
How many do we have?
So would
Most
you like
girls
to watch
can't handle it?
Oh, you're dueling.
It's my turn. Go ahead.
It's my turn.
Go ahead, sorry.
Most girls can't handle it.
So would you like to watch a movie with me with your hand down my pants?
That's a smooth move, by the way.
The 22-year-old virgin is in the house. I can't control my horny level.
What?
I will go till you tell me to stop. You like doggy?
All right. Okay, I think that's when we end on.
How did that not get a blank?
Nice. Come on.
All right, back to you.
So he wrote some bad checks.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with like and lick nipples and lick and and you? Where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part
is that
of
the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Neither.
What a dick, by the way. Yeah, but
oh, what a dick trying to get a pedophile to explain where in the Bible he got this info.
This is a tough side to take. Well,
built again. Good.
Oh, God. Oh. Keep going.
Go ahead, Ellie.
I'm just going to start, and one of you is going to play another thing.
We wouldn't do that.
I don't know why you would suspect that.
Right.
All right.
They're probably out of them.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
The joy in Bean's laugh and Kevin wheezing with tears coming down his face is insane.
I want to meet you and fool around.
I think I actually am.
I'm not.
I'll just be your secret lover.
We played that.
We did, okay.
All right.
Well, I don't do guys, but if you want to, you can do me.
All right, go ahead. We're done.
No, you're not.
Go ahead. We're done.
I don't believe you. All right. You guys watch
Do you shave down there?
All right, that's it. We're out for real now.
That was my last one.
It's not. I don't believe
That was my last one. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Bean, you watch
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right? I love to a young man deep and
this is just a story about a guy bouncing a check.
That's all this is.
Well, if I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Allie, why won't you do what's happening?
Just do the story, Allie.
Bean, you
I think I would like to shower with you.
Okay, go ahead. You can tell you now. Bean does never laugh. That's true. Bean's the guy that says that's funny but doesn't laugh. All right. Woo! Okay. Got that out of our system now.
It is. All right. Down.
All right.
Moving on.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Okay, this time I mean it, though. Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
You watch
What are you looking for? I could be your grandpa.
Do you have so many of these?
How are there so many?
I think we're actually out. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Bean, you watched Homecoming.
I'm horny for you.
Look, we can't wait all day for the next story.
You're right. You know what? And that's what's happening.
Is that a yes?
Speaking of Dave Grohl, Chip, you were lucky enough to see him last night as part of that tribute to Chris Cornell at the Forum, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Foo Fighters played a couple sets, and he came out with he came out later and sang a song solo too. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I heard he did Everlong, and his voice was like cracking because it was so emotional, dedicating it to the memory of Chris Cornell. We're going to talk about the show in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean program. So if you were lucky enough to be at that 5-hour event at the Forum last night that had Metallica and Ryan Adams and Miley Cyrus and Tenacious D and a bunch of other
acts. I think people are still there.
It's very possible they're trying to get out of the parking lot still, I'll tell you that. We're going to be talking about it and looking for your phone calls in about 20 minutes from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. That means Jensen is here, and it's time to get up on this.
Get up. Get on up.
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 On this.
As always, you can see everything that I've gotten you up on krock.com. This week, I'm very excited because, you know, sometimes I bring in a song or a movie or an app, and it's just one thing in particular.
Right.
And it's very easy and tangible for you to grab it. This week, sort of, but not really, because I'm getting you up on the complexities of what is a creative friendship, a partnership even.
Huh?
You know, two people that are together in creative endeavors, whether they're writing together or on the radio together.
Right.
Any of those things. It is complex. Mm-hmm. The way these things come together, they're best friends. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are. Sometimes creativity comes out of either one of those things. And it's something that is very interesting and fun to follow. And there are three different pieces of media out currently that tell this story perfectly.
Is that right?
Now. Yes. One, a movie that is currently in limited release called Stan and Ollie. It is incredible. It is.
You haven't stopped talking about that since you saw it.
It is so good. I know a lot of people had high hopes for Holmes and Watson, and that was not what people wanted about a creative partnership. But as far as buddy movies, John C. Reilly, that star him, this is the one to see. The movie stars Reilly as Oliver Hardy and Steve Coogan as Stan Laurel, and both are nearly unrecognizable in this movie.
I didn't know it was out yet. I'm so excited.
It currently is.
Oh, wow.
In certain select cities, L.A. being one of them, which is great. You will think they were literally born to play these roles.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't imagine anyone else doing it. The prosthetics on John C. Reilly, it goes way beyond anything we've ever seen as a fat suit or anything like that. It looks like he gained the weight for the role, which makes Christian Bale look like a real idiot because he could have just worn latex. The movie focuses on the 1950s for the legendary comedy duo, the twilight of their career, the end when they think things are winding down, many marriages and failures. And rather than fade away, they decide to go on a British tour of second-tier venues. They've went from sort of large fans to maybe 200 in a room. It is one of the most touching films I've seen in a long time. It comes to life with these two gifted actors, and it shows the complex and sort of beautiful give and take that two men that really know no other job outside of being together, what it's like to call it a day.
Wow.
It is.
I can't wait to see. They had me at the trailer. It was phenomenal.
You guys got to see.
It does look great, but I will tell you that I think there are millions of people in this country who have never heard of Laurel and Hardy and will just be confused as to who it's about and why.
And I think it tells you that. I think it explains the whole thing. It kind of gives you a upfront little prelude to tell you that they were very famous. You know, they give you all that footage,
and then
you jump in. So you don't have to know anything about Laurel and Hardy. Just go in and know it's about. And that's with all these things that I'm going to bring up. It's about two people, and we all can relate to that, even if you're not in a creative field. Marriages, friendships. Mm-hmm. It's about give and take. And sometimes you hate someone. Sometimes you're absolutely obsessed with them. But throughout that whole thing, you love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one I want to get you up on is the A24 podcast episode with Jonah Hill and Michael Cera. Now, these two don't do things together that much. No press, no, you know, other than the thing you thought of first, which is super bad.
Right.
These two guys, it is hilarious. It's a digital release for mid-90s. This is to promote that with A24. It's one of his best friends over time. You might think these two Hollywood heavyweights would throw around tales about, you know, being in the business or big shot banter, but they actually just focus on being friends when they were younger. It's just like if me and you sat down with our friends from high school and shot the S. You know what I mean?
Sounds good.
Let's listen to this clip here.
I never got the deep psychology.
The way when your dad got mad about cleaning stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite story about
it was
your dad.
Like when we were really little. Me and my sisters, I don't know. It was the thing where like your dad tries to get angry and then ends up accidentally being funny and that makes him even more angry. So he was like angry that we left stuff around and he accidentally rhymed like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. He was like, you kids leave your things where they lay. You put them there and there they stay.
But he screamed it.
Yeah, he was screaming it. And we all like just burst out laughing, and my mom laughed, which also like took
set
the steam
him off.
Out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then he was just
you leave them there, and there they stay.
Also, to form a sentence that way,
it's not about their. You know, it's
wow. They talk, that sounds great.
They talk a little bit about movies, but it just sounds like two guys who went through a very insane time together at a young age. My third one is the newest episode of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, which is a great podcast.
I love it so much.
He's setting up his 30-minute reboot of the talk show over at Turner, and he's taken to podcasting during the time off. He sat down with Will Ferrell, Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, Kristen Bell, Bill Burr. But the one we're getting you up on is Adam Sandler. Much like Jonah and Michael, these guys grew up together on SNL when Adam was just 19 years old. Conan was a writer. And now 30 years later, they're actually neighbors and their kids go to school together and they're facing sort of the end of their careers a little bit as well. Like, they still have something to say, though. Let's listen to this quick clip.
I've been in, like, school assemblies where the parents are there and the kids are there and I don't even know, like, Adam's sitting way in the, I don't even know he's there, and then they'll say something like, oh, we're also looking for a volunteer who can come on pancake day on Saturday, and then I'll hear a voice in the back go, it's Conan.
Again, it's not about, these friendships are not about the things you think. They don't talk about going to the fanciest dinner or getting the best ratings.
It's super relatable.
They reminisce about Chris Farley. They point out their own weaknesses. Adam Sandler admits to what is sort of shocking, which is a well-known, it seems to be in the business, temper. And how he's been working on it the last few years.
Yeah. Talks about that.
Talks about it really vocally.
That's fascinating.
Very admitting to
Jensen, I have to ask. I know you have been preaching the gospel of too much TV.
Yes.
We're at too much podcast, too, aren't we?
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm pointing out the episodes you got to pick up.
Okay.
And those are two of them. Most importantly about these three picks, it's about friends and partnership and lifelong stories between people who are in Hollywood or where you assume anyone lives. These people sort of let their guards down and show what it's like. Those three examples, I hope you enjoyed them. And that is my get up on that.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up.
If you're at the Chris Cornell I Am the Highway tribute concert last night at the Forum, we're going to be looking for your calls in about 5 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. An unbelievable lineup of talent last night. We want to hear all about it coming up on K-Rock. First, though, hey, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Have you guys seen the controversy going on in the Bay Area right now over Tina and Louise, the cats named after the characters on Bob's Burgers?
I'm not.
No.
This is something else. You know, there's a housing crisis all over California. There aren't enough affordable places for people to live in San Francisco, in the Silicon Valley area, in Los Angeles, all the way up to Seattle. I mean, a lot of people are having problems finding a place to live.
This guy had been mulling over renting out his 400-square-foot apartment behind his home as an Airbnb in San Jose when his friend Tony said, hey, my daughter just went to college and she can't take her cats with her. Would it be okay if they rented out your place?
Wait, what?
The cats are living for $1,500 a month in an apartment in San Jose. People are furious about this, by the way, as you can imagine. The man says they don't have attitudes. Well, they have attitudes, but they don't talk
back. Of course, they're cats. Let's not be ridiculous.
They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't play loud music. They're perfect tenants. They have somebody who comes by and plays with and feeds the cats every day. But these cats live in their own house in the Silicon Valley. And again, homelessness advocacy groups are just saying, look, it really highlights that, you know, what a desperate situation we're in, the tremendous inequity in the area. There's so many people who can't find a place to live, and here's cats living on their own. And I just like to say, I think that's an excellent point, but I also think the cats should live with people. Don't you feel like that can't be a great life for the cats?
Of course.
I mean, they're,
I wouldn't think.
They're cats.
They are cats, though.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be living by themselves except when somebody comes by to scratch them behind the ears and leave them some cat chow.
If they were dogs, I'd be on.
Dare you? Allie, you're going to love this story. I had never heard of this before, but apparently this is a thing. You bring in your Christmas tree over the holidays, and you don't notice that it has a little, I don't know, a light tan, like the size of a walnut mass somewhere on the tree that turns out to be praying mantises that are getting ready to hatch.
What? When do I start loving this?
This is a lady in Springfield, Virginia, who had over 100 praying mantises hatching in her home after they were brought in on her Christmas tree. What happens is you bring the tree in, and then after a couple of weeks or so, they're there in the warmth and everything like that, and then they hatch, and all these little tiny praying mantises are swarming all over the trees seeking food. However, if they don't find any food, then it gets ugly. They turn into cannibals, and they start eating one another.
What?
Oh, my God, no.
It's like a science fiction nightmare movie.
What's happening?
Have you ever heard of this before?
No!
This lady, Molly Cruz of Springfield, Virginia, turns out to be a veterinarian, by the way. She has been overwhelmed by the praying mantises. She is trying to catch them all, find new homes for them. She says people seem to like the bugs. They can't hurt you. There's nothing wrong with them. She's like, I hope to find them a home, but I don't want them. And she's also planning on buying a fake Christmas tree next year. So I guess the message here is if you bring a real tree into your home, go ahead and check and make sure there's not one of these little bulbs that might hatch down the road.
That's not something that we should have to look at.
Are praying mantises the ones that the female eats the male right after they mate?
I think
so.
That's
maybe
true.
It's not that they're just hungry and can't find food. They're boning, and then they're getting rid of them.
That could be.
Yes.
People are wigged out by praying mantises because they are kind of creepy looking with the big bulgy eyes and
the way
they crawl with their legs and stuff. But you would never like squash one or something.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Why do I feel like you're lying again?
He's shaking his head, yes.
I'm not. How dare you?
Kidding.
Here's a happy story. Romeo the Cervantes water frog has been in the news. He has been billed for the last 10 years as the loneliest frog in the world. In fact, scientists even created a Match.com dating profile for the little green guy. He was believed to be the last of his species. There are a lot of, you know, we're losing animals all the time. Animals are going extinct. This was a Bolivian water frog, and they only had one. They were never able to find another one until the last couple of months. Some people in Bolivia were able to come across five more of these little frogs. One of whom is a girl. So they have named her Juliet, of course. Right now, those frogs are being kept in quarantine at a museum, but they are soon going to be introducing Romeo to Juliet to see if they can get the species going.
That is riveting.
How great is that if you're Romeo and you've been the only frog in the world for 10 years and now all of a sudden you got a little lady love?
How bad is it if you're Juliet and you've got four guys after you?
Well, I'm wondering about this. See, I don't know if they've done the DNA, but I'm wondering if those are her kids. Because it doesn't seem like there's any other male around, you know what I mean? Except for her.
Yeah, but you kiss a lot of frogs. You guys there?
File.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to you, B.
B.
Just going to keep waiting that one out.
And finally,
you need to let the room clear before you move on.
Yeah, exactly. I guess this counts as an animal story. It involves Bigfoot.
I think you'll enjoy it. A man fired several shots at another man out target shooting in Montana after he mistook the man for Bigfoot. Yes, Bigfoot.
I mean, that's reasonable, right? You think you're seeing Bigfoot?
Sure.
Yeah.
Open fire.
Sure. The Idaho Statesman says that the 27-year-old was putting up targets when he was fired at. Several bullets sped by him, and he took cover behind some nearby trees until he was able to confront the shooter, who was in a Ford F-150 pickup truck. According to Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton, the victim alleges the man said, "I thought you were Bigfoot."
Is that a legitimate...
Holy crap.
If you're being shot at it, you're like, "Hey, what the F, dude?"
I thought you were Bigfoot.
I thought you were Bigfoot.
Oh, okay, all good.
Don't you just laugh at that point and let it go?
I mean, you would have to.
Adding, "I don't target practice, but if I see something that looks like Bigfoot, I just shoot at it."
I mean, is that...
Oh, my God.
How many times does this happen to this guy?
Is that words to live by or what?
Police checked the area but couldn't find the truck, and the victim apparently couldn't give a description of the man, casting some doubt to his story. Although a woman came forward later claiming she had a similar experience with a man in the same truck. And while police say that the public aren't in any danger, Dutton did say, "It is of great concern that this individual might think it's okay to shoot at anything he thinks is Bigfoot."
Well, I mean, you gotta take precautions, you know what I mean? It would be a shame if a guy finally found Bigfoot, by the way, and the first thing he did was kill him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think how many people are looking for Bigfoot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of crazy animals in the news, as always. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news.
Fine.
Animal Stories to cure.
From the 323, so you guys put You Have to Kiss a Lot of Frogs from Allie in the file, but you let riveting pass?
Didn't hear it?
Yeah. Yeah, she said riveting. That's what she said. We were talking about that frog in the animal stories.
Stealth. I'm like a ninja.
Double file, Allie. Last night at the Forum was an unbelievable event. And by unbelievable, I mean you just can't, you couldn't imagine that so many people would show up for this event. But then you go, hey, Chris Cornell was one of the most popular figures in rock history. Everybody who knew Chris Cornell loved Chris Cornell.
Yeah, true.
And that's why so many great musicians from, you know, Foo Fighters and Metallica and all the ones we've been talking about all day showed up to pay tribute to him with a 5-hour, 42-song tribute concert at the Forum that was called I Am the Highway. We're taking your calls if you were there last night at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear all about it. What were your favorite parts? Our little friend Chip was there last night.
I was. And before...
Until what time, Chip?
I left there at 12:30.
Yes.
I went to bed at 1:45. I had, like, an hour and a half of sleep.
Yes.
I am awesome. Shark as a tap.
So, immediate highlights. I know it's tough to pick one, but if you had to, what would be your favorite moment of the night?
Oh, it was even before I got in.
What? Oh. Before you got into the Forum?
I was in line at Will Call with my friend.
Yeah.
And I texted Allie right away when I ran into this person.
Okay.
In a bucket hat, pulled all the way down, Fred Durst.
Yes!
In line in front of me.
I'm sorry?
It made my whole night. It was not the focus of the show at all. That's all I cared about.
Wow!
Fred Durst, everybody.
That's exciting. Crazy.
Yeah. Just real quick, my contract states that whenever Fred Durst is mentioned on the show, I have to come in real quick.
So I see.
I'm
going
to go back to my desk. I just want to let you know.
Okay. All right, good.
Thanks, Jensen.
He was not part of the performers.
Sadly, no,
night,
but
right?
I waited.
You were waiting for the whole night.
Fred Durst got to come out and do something.
So there were chunks where they had Soundgarden would come out and do some Soundgarden songs with guest vocalists, right?
Correct.
Same thing with Audioslave, same thing with Temple of the Dog. That must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. It was so cool. And the fact that it was like 5 hours long and so many artists just speaks to the testament of how much people loved Chris Cornell. Not just his talent, his songwriting, but as a person. And that's why it was like 5 hours, because like I don't think they said no to anybody. Like I think they added Alice in Chains, members of Alice in Chains, like 2 days ago.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah. But I think my favorite chunk was the Audioslave chunk. Mm-hmm. Perry Farrell came out first with them and did Cochise, and then Tim from Rise Against and Sam from X Ambassadors came out and they did Set It Off, and that was awesome.
Wow, that sounds great.
Those voices.
Later, and then Foo Fighters did a chunk before, but then Dave Grohl came back with Robert Trujillo from Metallica, and they did Show Me How to Live. That like just the show was, and then
unreal.
The best part too was the left field artists.
Mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus was amazing.
Wow.
Which you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah,
I assume. I would have
like,
expected that.
You
she
would have,
a
yes.
But... killer voice.
Yeah, like, it was like, she came out, I'm like, okay, you know, Miley, whatever. But yeah, she was great. Miguel, the R&B singer, was phenomenal. Wow. So that part was cool because there was, you know, like Foo Fighters and those people you would expect to be great. Yeah. But I liked my favorite part was those left field artists who.
Let's take one call. Phil in Costa Mesa. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi there. So,
hey, Phil, you were there last night.
100 bands a year, and last night was the most incredible night ever.
Really?
I could not believe it.
Wow. What was so special about it? Was I imagine a lot of it just had to do with the emotion of the feeling kind of like awake.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody was reaching out, and it was, you know, a long show, but it was like new people coming out constantly, every song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chip just mentioned my absolute highlights were Dave Grohl out in front of Audioslave. My two ultimate man crushes, Dave Grohl and Tom Morello, and just rocked it.
And just like, it looked like all these artists were having just so much fun just celebrating Chris. Like they were just, it was like a big old blast.
You don't see this kind of thing almost ever.
No.
Where you get all these different band members together and they go out and play other band songs. That's really
fun. Another awesome moment was Jack Black was there and he was trying to get a mic to Kyle. And then James Hetfield from Metallica comes out, and basically they start, you know, playing together.
Yeah, so Jack Black, like, it was a Kevin and Bob Saget situation where they were, you know, he was supposed to bring out Metallica, but they kept telling this motion, go longer,
just
go
on.
So, like, Jack started singing, like, hooks from, like, sound. He's like, what else do you guys want to hear? You want me to sing another song?
Oh, man.
And then he kept looking back going, do I stall some more? And then he's like, where's Kyle? And ended up, Kyle was in the row right in front of me. Like at the back of the forum, like he was like, oh, he had to stall for like, I felt so bad for him. He's like, it was
how long
like,
was he stalling?
I would say maybe 2.5 minutes.
Wow.
Oof.
Which, yeah,
it was, I mean, who better though?
Yeah,
yeah, other than
he could have just stood there. People would have loved it. Like, but
yeah. Phil, thank you for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Steve texts in from the 714. I can't call. I was there. The major highlight was a guy I'd never heard of named Marcus Durant. Now we talked about him off air, Chuck. Marcus Durant is whom now?
He's now the lead singer of MC5. Because that thing got
okay.
back together. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Marcus Durant came out with Soundgarden near the end. He's a 6'7" doughy guy with frizzy hair looking out of place. Then he started singing, and it was incredible. So Ryan Adams was also on the bill last night. How was Ryan? He did kind of an acoustic version of Fell on Black Days.
Yeah, he was great. Brandi Carlile was also great. She killed, Like a Stone, and she also, at the end of it, like the very last performance was Fell on Black Day, or sorry, was it? Black Hole Sun.
Uh-huh.
And it was Peter Frampton came out with her and she killed that
Holy
song.
Holy. Yes. Wow.
Good
this
Lord.
Is crazy. Like we're playing Mad Libs.
It was insane.
Seriously. So you think they filmed the thing?
I mean, I saw the filming notices, like, you know, just heads up, you're coming in here, it's being filmed.
And we were filming it, yeah.
Yeah, all so right. I don't know where it's going to be, but hopefully.
Let's take a Miley call, Kevin, because you know I have to. Anaheim, Larry, line 3, up next here in the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Larry.
Hi.
Hi there. Sorry.
Yeah, it was amazing. One of the best shows I've ever been to in my whole life, in the top 10, for real.
That's great.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Highlights for you, please.
Sing-along. It was a sing-along most of the night. My voice is rasped. I'm singing. Everybody around me was just, it was amazing. The people behind me flew in from Oklahoma.
Wow.
Crazy, all the people around me. Yeah, it was like all the people around me were from everywhere else but L.A.
Who stood out to you the most on stage?
The surprise was Miley Cyrus by far, but I'm actually a big Foo Fighters and Metallica fan. So when Dave got up there with the Audioslave boys and Robert Trujillo from Metallica, that was my favorite moment of the whole night. Nothing topped that.
Good stuff. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I think we're out of time for now. Yeah,
we are. Yeah.
We'll keep you posted, I'm sure, if Allie will let us know if we find any more information about who is filming it and why and where it'll be. But good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
True or false, Kevin, you one day sat down on Amazon.com and ordered 150 pairs of socks.
Of the same sock?
Yeah.
No, I picked 150 different pair.
I mean, honestly, that's less psychotic. So I was trying to help you, dude.
I think most psychotic is yesterday when we were questioning him about this, and his response is, I go hard on my socks.
Right.
I know. That was just
ew!
Love to know what that's about.
No!
You know, you can use a dish towel, right, Kevin?
150 pairs. Look, I won't wear 150 pairs of socks in my entire life from birth to death.
Well, they wouldn't
That's
all
ridiculous.
Fit.
I mean,
that'd be I weird. Won't. I'm just, all right, we're going to talk about things you buy in bulk and try to keep up with our man, Kevin, coming up right after 8. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
You guys, we all love Paley Fest. It is March 15th through the 24th at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. It's when you get to see the cast, crew, showrunners of your favorite show up on a stage, telling stories, behind-the-scenes info, things you never knew about. And a lot of times, you get to get up, ask them questions. It's a real intimate look at some of the biggest shows on television. Well, this is something that I might have to go to with you if
and,
you win.
And B will want to go as well.
Oh, yeah. This is tremendous.
This to me, is the reason for Paley Fest. If you are caller 25 right now, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Paley Fest 2019 panel with the cast and crew of Parks and Recreation.
Yay!
Big time.
They are celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's going to be going down on March 21st at the Dolby Theater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. More information, go to www.paleyfest.org. But again, caller 25, 1-800-520-1067. You are going to see the Paley Fest 2019 panel with a cast and crew of Parks and Rec.
Call now.
By the way.
Yes, thank you, Doug. Little Sebastian, that's, not included.
That's
rest in peace.
Oh, horsey heaven.
That's Amy Poehler, Nick Offerman,
Chris Pratt, Adam Scott,
possibly
Aziz.
Aziz Ansari, Aubrey Plaza, Retta, Rashida Jones. I mean, it's Rob Lowe.
Ben
I don't
Schwartz.
Know if he'll be there, but I mean, think about all the people who are on that show. It's a great cast and a great show.
It Call is now. One of the best shows to ever grace a television screen.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun night right there, kids.
Oh, man.
So you're saying the winner has to take you?
I did say that.
Is that law?
No, feel free to bring someone you love, but also me. Yeah. Oh, that's just that. Right there, when I saw that that was one of the giveaways for Paley Fest, I was like, that's it. That's all you need.
I've been to a bunch of them, and every time I see people run up at the end of the panel, and they sign stuff.
Yeah, pictures, everything. Yeah. They're always really accommodating to the people there. It's really fun. Guys, YouTube is cracking down on users that share, quote, dangerous challenges and pranks. They said that videos that cross the line into being harmful or dangerous will now be banned.
Well, you're against that then, right? The banning?
No, I want them to keep these videos up because it promotes Darwinism.
Absolutely.
This is survival of the fittest, you guys.
Didn't hurt.
YouTube said it won't tolerate videos that, quote, can cause death and or have caused death in some instances. They specifically pointed to the Tide Pod Challenge, where, of course, people ate laundry detergent, which I say, keep eating it. Keep eating it till you can't eat anymore. And then they pointed to the fire challenge, where people poured lighter fluid on themselves and set themselves on fire.
They did.
Keep doing it.
I mean, I don't think technically we're saying keep doing it.
We are thinning the herd. But these people need to go.
I don't think we're losing.
Get in the ground.
I don't think we're losing anyone important.
Absolutely is what I'm saying. The policy update comes only weeks after, of course, the Bird Box Challenge, which was inspired by the Bird Box show on Netflix, where people would perform stunts while blindfolded, like driving. Aren't you cute? Good Lord.
Right.
Here's an interesting thing. YouTube added that they will also remove prank videos that, quote, make victims believe they're in serious physical danger, like when they fake home robberies, that type of thing. Which I think is pretty smart. I mean, people are having heart attacks, right?
I mean, you don't want that.
You don't want that. So, that's a deal, guys.
All right.
Stop.
I gotta take down my whole channel now.
Right?
Oh, being such a prankster.
Oh my God, does he love pranks?
All I do.
You won't stop.
Can't stop.
Like that time we left the $120 on the street and then he was all excited. That is a good video.
So sad. So we all love The Office, right?
Yep.
So when you heard that Steve Carell and Greg Daniels were reuniting, everyone was like, reboot The Office, something's happening. No. They will instead launch a new comedy for Netflix called Space Force.
Space Force is a, quote, workplace comedy centered around the people tasked with creating a sixth branch of the armed services, Space Force.
I'm going to tell you that I am more excited about Steve Carell being part of a new show than I am a reboot of The Office.
Well, this is kind of a reboot of The Office.
Yeah, it's going to be The Office in space.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just Space Office.
Yeah.
Like, if I was drunk and stumbled into Greg Daniels' office, I'd be like, it's The Office, but in space.
Like, and, sign him up.
And they sold it.
I love it.
Congrats.
I'm pumped. I mean, anytime Steve Carell can be on my TV, I'm good.
Absolutely.
I love him. I love him so very much. This one, I'm going to go ahead and just blame a lot of this on Kevin.
What?
Because Kevin, he's been known to say before, he votes for comedy. And I would always get so angry when you would play the Cash Me Outside girl because I felt like we were promoting idiots that got famous. She got famous because she was a little bee on Dr. Phil.
Right.
That's how she got famous. And then she started a rap career as Bad Baby.
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
Which weirdly has some credibility, which I, not on my watch. But
I just, what? I just can't.
Yeah.
Well, now, Kevin, thanks to you.
What?
She has signed a six-month deal with a beauty company. And the company, basically, they do price alternatives for products from really popular brands.
Right.
So it's cheaper makeup type of thing. Six-month deal for $900,000.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That girl right there.
Yeah. She's also getting, getting a percentage of the sales as well. So if you idiots that made her famous then buy this makeup, she's going to get even more money. Hmm. I hate everything.
I might buy it just to make you angry.
Can't stop the hustle, man.
Catch me outside. How about that?
You know when you see around L.A. the billboards and stuff, stop making, what is it?
Huh?
Awful people famous. Stop making idiots famous.
Yeah.
Listen, it could be a better billboard, so I'd remember it.
Yeah.
But that's what we need. We need to stop doing. She says as she does the story about how she now has this deal.
Right.
Catch me outside. How about that?
How about I do?
That girl.
And how about I dig a grave?
Ali is still not over the Catch Me Outside girl.
She's like 17.
So angry. Yeah, exactly.
I saw, she has a tattoo, and I'm always like, who gave that 50? I think I saw her when she was 15. Who gave that tattoo?
Like, I mean, if you have your parents' approval, you can do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems weird. It also
Catch
looked
me
like,
outside.
It looked like faded.
Already?
Like a sailor tattoo, yeah.
Good God. Hey, lot of birthdays today. Steve Harvey, Jim Carrey, James Earl Jones, Betty White, Zooey Deschanel, Kid Rock, Calvin Harris, Lil Jon, Tiesto, and former First Lady Michelle Obama.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thursday mornings, we talk to RJ Bell here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and today is no exception. In about 30 minutes or so, we'll talk about the AFC and NFC playoff games this weekend. Find out who's going to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what RJ has to say about the Rams. That's coming up here this half hour on K-Rock.
Let's talk about ordering things in bulk, because I thought everyone was like me. And that's not the case?
No.
Ever.
150 pairs of socks at one time.
I mean, look. In my defense, I love the socks.
You do? Yeah.
Well, clearly you're a fan or you wouldn't be ordering them, but how did you pick that particular number? Did you sit down and do the math on how long you're likely to live?
No, not really. I just didn't ever want to buy socks again.
Unbelievable.
Yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, I got 5 pair of the exact same shorts I'm wearing because I like them.
Okay.
So I got 5 pair of them.
All right.
People do that, right?
You get used to something, you want to make sure you have
Thank
it forever.
Thank you, Allie.
Absolutely.
Can you explain the rotation?
The rotation of?
Like, why not just wash it and then, you know what I mean? Like, why are you getting 5 of them? Do you rotate through the cleans?
Well, of course.
I assume they're different colors.
No, they're all exactly the same.
God.
Yeah, you guys are missing the real insane American psycho aspect to this.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why you're all giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I was.
Hey, because Allie's nice and you're not. Maybe
150 of the same sock pairs was what got me.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that confuses me as well, because even if you only do laundry every 3 weeks, that's still only 21 pairs of socks. I feel like you could wash them all and have 21 pairs of socks ready to go
for
the next day.
Of course I do that. And then when they get worn, then I pull out some more. Who's the winner? Me.
Yes, indeed. Yep. I've changed. Yep.
I'll give you another example. I got 10 of those little Apple iPod headphones.
What?
Little earbuds.
Wait,
I bought 10 of them.
The actual ones?
Stop. You mean the pods? The ones that...
No.
Oh, I was like, because you're the richest guy I've ever known.
No, the old school, just the Apple.
Just the one that connects.
Yeah, just that one. Earbuds, yeah.
How many phone chargers do you have?
Probably only like 5. But no, but let me finish with my earbuds. So
yeah,
yesterday,
10 pair at a time.
So yesterday I couldn't find my earbuds, so I went into the office. I was like, who did I give? And it was Dave, and he had all kinds of earbuds, and he just handed me a pair, and I was like, who's the winner now? Boom!
A lot of winning.
What?
Unbelievable.
So I'm tired of winning.
That's what I hear.
I can't be the only one.
You're one of the only ones.
There's nothing more frustrating than, like those earbuds. They either wear out, you lose them, whatever. It's super frustrating then to not have any. But so I always have some.
Do you think knowing that you have 10 makes it like more likely
maybe
to lose
Maybe I abuse them a little more? Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
You're like,
know.
Who cares? I have 10.
Yeah, maybe.
We're going to take your calls, by the way, to find out what things you order in bulk. That's the topic here. I don't think we've ever done this before at 1-800-520-1067. I bet there are people like Kevin who just like to stock up. I bet there are people who have gone out and bought something in bulk because it was being discontinued.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll bet there's a lot of those people.
I bet that has happened. I bet there are people who are in relationships where it drives somebody crazy that the other person is bringing home so many copies of things.
My wife is similar, but will only buy backups. So, like, we'll go to Costco or whatever, and she'll buy 2 of everything, which isn't nuts, but then when we get...
How do you get out of Costco with only 2 of things?
Because we're normal
Costco's
humans.
Built to be ordered in bulk.
How many would you buy of a thing if it's individually wrapped?
Depends on what it is.
Let's get into food in general. Are you buying multiple food that won't, like, spoil? Like soup cans that you like a soup.
I mean, I have a lot of soup.
What's a lot of soup?
If that's what you're saying. Probably 20 cans.
Kevin, 25. You're such a disease.
Are you a doomsday prepper, Kevin?
I'm not a doomsday prepper, and I'm not a hoarder. I might be a hoarder. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not positive.
Tell that to the gun room.
Line. Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, having said that and hearing you guys' response, it's possible I overdid it on the socks. Like, I'm not necessarily standing by that, but I did buy them.
Okay.
And I have socks for life, so who wins?
Yeah, you do. Right. We're going to bury you with whatever socks you haven't opened yet,
by the way.
Allie, how about you? You buy anything in bulk?
I buy Crystal Light in bulk.
Crystal Light?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's weird, but yeah, you've seen my
Amazon.
I've
seen her Amazon.
Yeah. I buy Splenda in a box of 1,000.
Well, yeah. Splenda, you kind of, that's, those things
you
are small enough
frequently.
And you use it up. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Here's the only other thing I think I buy in bulk. And again, taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Please text, same number if you can't call. I love me some Cajun peanuts from Hampton Farms. And it's just cheaper. It's just cheaper that way. So I buy them by the 25-pound box.
What? Wow. I mean, that's bulk.
Because that's my go-to snack. That's just a snack I like having around the house. You know what I mean? Is those Red Hot peanuts. And, I mean, the box arrives, and I said Red Hot peanuts, not nuts.
I don't know what you said.
I know.
My wife sees this box.
Who?
My wife sees this box of 25 pounds of peanuts, and she's like, you're not going to live long enough to eat that many peanuts. But sure enough, a couple months down the road, they're gone.
Yeah.
And I order me another one. So that's my bulk item, but that's different. It's a food.
I mean, it's sort of different. Not really, though.
No, but it's also one thing. We've now figured out you're doing this with most aspects of your life.
I do a lot of that. I don't like running. I don't like being frustrated. So when I run out of something, if I don't have it, it really frustrates
me. Even if it's 30 years later.
All right. I can only assume that one day I'm going to be really happy to have those socks.
Let's go to Woodland Hills. Let's say hello to our friend Ray on line one, up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hey, Ray, thanks for calling in. We're talking buying in bulk. Are you a Kevin?
Are you one of my people?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's the right, it's
the right way to do it. I buy my socks 30 at a time. I buy my underwear 20 at a time and pants. The reason is because I like dressing a certain way. I don't want to have to think about it every morning.
Same.
And your clothes last longer. If you think about it, if you have 30 underwear, you end up getting them washed like once a month at that point. And they last a few years.
How about that, Bean?
I see.
How do you like us now?
Yeah.
I mean, if it works for you, I'm happy for you. Sure, go for it.
Now, how come you didn't say that to me?
We like Ray better.
I'm scared Ray's going to come murder us. To you, at least I can watch you and keep an eye on you. Any of these people buying 30 of anything.
You think they're crazy?
Yes,
no,
these people.
Be ridiculous.
Where do you have the room?
Let's take Renee real quick. He's on line 4, Studio City, and then we got to take a break. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Renee, what's the bulk item you're buying?
Yo, what's happening? Chapsticks.
What? Oh, chapstick.
Chapstick.
How many?
Yeah, for my wife. 150 at a time. I actually got to buy more again.
150?
Is she eating them?
No. Well, you think about it. She has one in her purse. She has one in her car. She has one in the diaper bag. One in my truck. They melt. They get washed in the washer. They get dried up in the dryer. They disappear. You know, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, those do wear out pretty quickly, whether you're using it or not, actually. Because they can melt the sun.
Listen to these two psychopaths.
Don't listen to them.
I don't know, Renee. I would check into it. I think Bean might be onto something. She's eating them. What the hell?
Whatever feeds her, I guess.
150, though.
Well, there's a certain brand, too. They don't just sell them in the store down here, also. So they're natural ice, and she's very particular about her chapstick.
All right. Okay. I'm happy to have Renee on my side.
Okay. All right, I'm happy to let
you
have him. Thank you for the call. We'll take your calls next on Care.
All right, Imagine Dragons is next, but one phone call on buying things in bulk. Allison is on the line now from Huntington Beach. Hi, Allison.
Hi, guys.
What are you buying in bulk?
Why do you say it like that, Bean? You don't have to be so judgmental.
Allison, what are you buying in bulk?
There you go. Thank you.
I bought rubber chickens in bulk.
What?
Wait, what?
Rubber chickens.
How many do you need?
I bought like 2 dozen.
Why, Allison?
Why do you need one?
So I went to a music festival and I decided to buy a rubber chicken, and it squawks when you squeeze it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was squawking it along to the music and I had so much fun with it and I loved it, but my friend hated it, so he threw it away. And so I went to another music festival and I just decided to buy 2 dozen. It was on Amazon.
Now, did you buy them before or after you dropped the ecstasy?
Before.
Before, okay. All right.
That makes sense.
The funniest thing, though, I had, like, I shoved a bunch into my backpack, and I went to the airport, and my bag got pulled by TSA, and he opened the backpack, and he looked at me, and he was like, seriously.
he cut one open to check for cocaine?
Yeah, like Carrot Top.
He checked my bag and it was just like,
All right, Alice.
Allison's on my side.
Yes, she is.
You can take her.
You keep doing what you're doing. Don't ever change. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take more calls of buying in bulk coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. On the world famous K-Rock. Chrissy from Pomona 909. Dear Kevin and Bean, I am obsessed with Ziploc baggies of all sizes. Why do I need to buy them in bulk? I do not know. Apocalyptic snacks, maybe? She can't stop buying them in bulk. What do you have, Jensen, for our friend Kevin here in the mac and cheese department?
Oh, Costco sold out of a mac and cheese that is absolutely insane. You have basically 27 pounds. It's 90, 27 pounds. It comes in a tub, like the same way that like you would pick up like maybe acid for your driveway or something.
Oh my gosh.
Or wood chips.
Yeah.
It's $90. It lasts 20 years. So these are for preppers, basically.
All right.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
People Magazine broke the story. Sold out within an hour.
Kevin, that sounds like you missed out on that one.
I did miss out on that
one. You would have bought that.
Absolutely.
It's your favorite. All right. What do you buy in bulk? 1-800-520-1067. Mike and Witter, you hang on. We will get to you. I'm dying to talk to you. Let's go to Yvonne first. Van Nuys up first. Line one.
Hey, Yvonne.
Hey.
Even just the sadness of the hay.
It sounds just like so much shame.
We're getting into a dark place.
You're all right, Yvonne.
Hello.
Okay.
All right. Hi. All right. Okay. What's your bulk buying story?
My mom bought 1,000 rolls of toilet paper.
Well, that explains the beginning of the call.
We are getting into a dark place.
Rolls of toilet paper. How long is that estimated to last in your family?
2 weeks in her family.
Oh my God.
It's only my mom and dad. It was only my mom and dad, so they still have some left. It was like a couple of years ago. They tried to give it away. Some of it, and we had to build a room. My dad had to build a little shed for the toilet paper because we didn't have no room to put it.
Only two people. This was just for your mom and dad.
1,000 rolls.
Why did they buy
rolls?
So much? Was it a special or something? Yeah. You get it for 50 cents each if you buy 1,000?
He got like a couple cents a roll. I don't know. She bought them all. And my dad's like, what are you, crazy lady?
Yes.
He had to build a room to put his whatever in the yard.
Had to build a room?
No, just saying you would have to.
Oh.
Or did you guys also buy the tub of mac and cheese? Because that would explain the duality of the purchases.
Makes sense.
No, they don't want mac and cheese.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Yvonne. Thank you for listening, I guess. I would not have pegged Yvonne as one of ours, by the way.
Well, you got
all right. Let's go to, let's go to Mike. He's in Whittier. He's on line six. This is, you were mocking one of Kevin's purchases as him being the richest guy you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the same thing about Mike here. Is what kind of money does he have to work with?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Far from it, actually. No, but I think all of us probably have a favorite pair of shoes or even a garment of clothing that we regret when it's finally worn out.
Right.
And we have to
sure,
get new ones,
sure.
And they don't have that anymore. So I kept having that regret over and over. So when I find a really good basketball shoe in particular, I learn to not have that regret by just going out and buying all of them I can find. And then I just got done using the last pair of six or seven pairs of the same shue.
How hard
they have
do
about
you
a
ball?
Two-year cycle.
Are you, Charles Barkley? Hey, Mike, what shoe is it? As a sneakerhead myself, what shoe is this?
Actually, it was just a little Nike cross trainer. It was just super lightweight. But right now, I've moved to the LeBron 15, and I've been wearing them for a couple months. They're amazing, so I'm definitely going to be getting more of those as well.
Well, I do have over 100 pairs of shoes, but they're not all the same, which I think
no, that's more of a collection than
clear
what we're doing.
Yeah, as to why I shouldn't be on a LAPD list.
Lydia, line five, up next, North Hollywood on the Kevin Bean Show, talking buying in bulk. Kevin, I thought you were Mr. Costco, but you got a lot of competition listening here this morning. Lydia, welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys.
Hi there.
I go to downtown LA and I buy at the wholesale, they have wholesales and stuff. I buy pipes, like smoking pipes, weed pipes. I buy them like 25, 30 at a time because I'm always breaking them. And I have like two different cars and I'm always on the go. And so I just like to have chillums like everywhere. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then also, I also buy them for presents for like Christmas time, like every other year, my friends get brand new pipes.
I feel like weed isn't going in them.
No. Yes, definitely not.
I was going to say, I also buy weed in bulk because obviously they go hand in hand.
Okay.
And it's just cheaper the more you buy, the cheaper it is.
Yeah,
right,
no.
But what we're suggesting is that you don't sound as mellow as one might as a woman with 25 weed pipes.
Right.
Well, I'm on my way to work right now, so you know.
Okay, sure.
I work in a meth lab.
On a side note, completely unrelated, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Thank you for calling.
The games matter more than ever before. Why not make a little cash on them, too? Let's talk to RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
And then there were four AFC and NFC championship games happening this weekend. Our friend RJ Bell is on the line, the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ, good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, four teams left. The number 1, 2, 3, and 4 offensive scoring teams in the NFL.
So we've never had that before in the four teams left, right?
No, and I'll be honest with you. The old adage used to be defense wins championships. And boy, oh boy, that has changed. So for all the parents out there, if you're wondering, should my kid be a middle linebacker or a running back? Probably a running back.
All right. Which of the two do you want to start with first, RJ?
Well, listen, this is L.A., baby. So Saints hosting the Rams. And that happened already, you may remember. And
That's
it's a bad memory for the Rams fans. Saints dominated. Right now, the Saints are favored by 3 points. And as we've said many, many years now, home field advantage in the NFL is 3. So the Vegas market is saying these are even teams. Only difference is Saints at their home, so they're favored by 3.
Do you think it favors the Rams at all that they've played them before this season?
I tell you, if the coaches were disparate in talent. So last week, for example, you had the boy genius, as we call him, Sean McVay, great coach, against the clapper in Dallas, as we call Gary. All he does is clap on the sidelines. He's not considered a good coach by Vegas. And I think in situations like that, a second time, the better coach is going to learn more from the opponent than the bad coach is going to learn. But in this case, I consider Sean Payton to be a slightly better coach, amazingly, than McVay. And thus, I think, if anything, these are two elite coaches. They're going to be like chess players. They're going to look at what they did in game one, and they're going to do something slightly different based upon the assumption of what the other coach is going to think based on game one. So, it's going to be very tricky.
So how do you pick if it's even in Vegas? If Vegas says these two teams are identical.
I mean, you just count how the abs, how many of the muscles, you know. So, and McVay, or it's more than 0, and with Sean Payton, it's 0. So, but what I'd say is this: what are the situational factors? And to me, I believe it advantage Saints, and that's going to be our pick. And remember, guys, we don't bet a ton, if anything, on these two games this week just because we think the line's about right. I think the Saints maybe should be 3.5. They're 3. So, yeah, that's a little bit of an edge, but it's not enough to get all excited about. But listen, these are the two games. A lot of people want to bet a little bit on it. This won't be big bets for us. But the reason I like the Saints, Goff is a good quarterback at home. He's a below-average quarterback on the road. That's just what the numbers say. And the Saints are one of the 3 or 4 best home fields in the NFL. And Drew Brees is unbelievable at home. It's a dome. The home field advantage is even more because it's an unusual experience. And if you look at the Rams last week, they actually were smart enough to figure out Dallas's signals, what they were doing on the D-line. So a lot of that running was this artificial kind of trickiness. And let's give them credit for it. But I think the Rams look better than they really are because they outcoached Dallas so much.
He does not want us to go to Atlanta. Right? That's what I'm hearing.
To me, it's an emotional hedge. I either win my little bet on it or I get to see you guys, and I'll be a candidate. It's equal.
All right.
Let me ask you this one last question about the Saints-Rams game, and it'll lead us nicely into the Patriots-Chiefs game, and that is, how much stock do you put into the team that has the Super Bowl experience in its past?
I think if the quarterback hadn't made a start, like we had a stat, and Mahomes actually beat this stat, that before that Mahomes' first quarterback start, is quarterbacks who have their first playoff start were 2-17 against the spread. Because that first time, it's like, and you guys all know it, right? First time you were in the L.A. drive time. We all have had those moments. Like, this is a step forward, and there's a little bit of nerves. And most quarterbacks struggle with that. But the Rams were in the playoffs last year, and now this is going to be Goff's third playoff game. So I think it's like, obviously, Drew Brees has more experience. I just think it means less because we're now moving towards the third game for the Rams.
All right, now let's go to Kansas City, where game time temperature is supposed to be 5 plus snow plus wind. I would imagine New England has a lot more experience playing in that kind of weather than Kansas City does. What do you think about that for the AFC Championship?
Tom Brady is considered objectively the best bad weather quarterback ever. If you look at the numbers, he plays better in bad weather.
What a weird stat that is.
Yeah, I mean, he is just a mentally tough
dude. Well, he certainly has the biggest coats in the history of the NFL.
And the muffler with the fur.
Right?
But here's the thing, guys. Check your weather forecast, because as of 2 days ago, it was supposed to be 5 degrees. Yesterday, the reports was it was supposed to be 20. I haven't even heard a report today, so maybe
it's going to be 71, they're saying now, RJ.
Then that changes everything. So, to me, if it is below 10 degrees, it is very, very meaningful because offenses struggle. But above 10, even in the teens, historically, offenses don't struggle as much as you might think. But here's an amazing stat. Mahomes, young, we call him football sexy. A lot of the kids love him. And a very exciting quarterback for Kansas City, no doubt about it. He's played 18 games in his career. his four worst games by stats were his four coldest games. So history tells us this is a guy who went to Texas Tech. He doesn't have a ton of experience in cold, and he has relatively struggled in the cold.
All right, what's your pick then, RJ?
I still go with Kansas City, and again, it's not a big one, and here's why.
You just spent a half an hour talking about why they weren't going to win.
Well, you guys didn't ask the right questions, right?
Okay. I'm not going to judge. Damn.
I'm not going to judge, but no, there is one last factor.
Yes.
Is the Patriots have the biggest dichotomy between home and road, meaning they were undefeated at home. And they were below 500 on the road. Usually a team as good as one that makes the Final Four is not that bad of a road team. Historically, the Patriots have been an excellent road team. This year, you might remember, they got dominated against the Lions. They got dominated against the Titans. Think about some of those losses the Pats had on the road. So to me, home field means everything here, just like it did in the Rams game. So Kansas City is going to be a pick, but not a big pick.
Okay. All right, so you're going Saints Chiefs. That's what RJ says for the weekend. You can find out about the college games and so much more with the RJ's Dream Preview podcast, available on iTunes, pregame.com. I'm sorry, I'm having some trouble with this, RJ. Pregame.com is where you want to go for all the information in one handy location. And don't forget the Straight Out of Vegas radio show with RJ Bell, weekdays 3 to 4 on Fox Sports Radio. So we'll miss next week. And if the Rams win, we'll see you in person in Atlanta, Super Bowl week. We're hoping, we got our fingers crossed, that'll all come together. If not, we'll talk to you here on the radio. Sound good?
Absolutely. Breakfast on me in Atlanta, baby.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Sounds too good to be true, but we are giving you Coachella tickets, a sold-out three-day pass to Coachella in about 5 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You win that, you are automatically qualified for a trip to England for the Reading Festival. Foo Fighters are going to be playing on that bill, Billie Eilish on that bill, Post Malone, so many more, including our favorites, the 1975. That includes hotel, round-trip airfare, and three-day passes to the Reading Festival. Or as it says here, pronounced the Red Ding Festival. Huh? The Red Ding Festival. Huh?
Okay.
Anyway, your chance to qualify with Coachella tickets in 5 minutes. First, Allie's here with what's happening.
Bean, I was trying to remember, you had mentioned one of your favorite sodas is like a flavored soda, right?
A flavored soda.
Like a cherry flavored or something.
I'm trying to think of what that could have been. I do. There are some, certainly some like that
I do love me some cherry Coke.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Bean had like an absolute favorite that was a fruit flavor because I thought that's odd. I just wouldn't think that he'd be into the fruity flavors of soda.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know why.
The guy with pigtails?
That's true.
You say you are what you drink, Kevin? Is that what you're saying?
I would think that's all he would have.
I mostly now I'm a Diet A&W root beer guy. That's my go-to. But I enjoy lots of different things.
What? Like to drink, not just for like a ice cream, like a float?
Oh, no. It's my favorite soda of all time.
It's so heavy.
It's so great, though.
The best diet is Dr. Pepper, by the way. Let's just put that out
there. Diet Dr. Pepper.
You haven't tried the Diet A&W root beer, though. I'm telling you. It's even better than Diet Dr. Pepper.
Stop it.
Right?
Which I'm also a fan of. Don't get me wrong. It's very good. But try it. You'll like it. All right. Why do you bring all this up?
I bring it up because Diet Coke just got fruitier. So they have ginger lime, twisted mango, zesty blood orange, and feisty cherry already in the lineup. But they're adding two new flavors. And I don't know how I feel about it.
Okay. Right.
Strawberry guava, Diet Coke.
Strawberry guava. Give it a shot.
All right. The other one, blueberry acai.
You know I love my acai.
No, you don't.
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Like bowls?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
You guys made fun of me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Which is odd because it's so healthy.
Right.
I don't know if acai bowls are healthy, by the way.
I mean, it's
they're basically like ice cream sundaes if done the way I like them.
Yeah, but the ice cream part of it isn't as bad for you as ice cream.
True. Yeah.
You're going to go for the blueberry apple?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. What about you, Bean?
I don't think that's for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys go ahead.
Okay. in grocery stores nationwide sometime this month. Do you guys remember we were talking about maybe Netflix was going to crack down on people using their giving your password away, that type of thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there was some sort of AI that was being developed to be able to track that.
Yes. And then Kat and you both were like, it's ridiculous. Why would people ever loan out their password? It's awful for business. And Kevin was like, yeah.
How dare you? It's shoplifting is what it is, essentially. It's stealing something for free.
Well, listen to this. A recent study from cordcutting.com found that all that sharing of your password means that Netflix loses how much in revenue a year would you think Netflix uses by people letting their password be used by friends or family?
Wow, that's tough to say because I don't know how many, like, do you let 10 people use your password or one? I mean, that makes a huge difference.
I mean, I know there are, I'm sure, a lot of families where it's just like the, you know, the mom, the dad, and then the kids who are off at school, they have it and they give it to their friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things can spread, man.
Yeah. Well, the company estimates that for Netflix, about 24 million people who use the service don't pay for it.
What?
That translates into about $2.3 billion in revenue each year.
How have they not started the AI originally?
That's what I'm saying.
They had that should have been rolled out with the service.
Wow. That's why they just had to raise their prices, right?
That I believe that's a part of it.
And Fuller House is super expensive. Everyone's a hologram. They film it in Guam.
Stop it.
Plus, now they're going to have to deal with, you know, if NBC has a service coming, they'll probably want The Office back. They'll probably want Friends back. So they're going to be losing
absolutely
a lot of those shows. I mean,
that's what Netflix is trying to get ahead of right now, is they realize they're going to lose a lot of the content that they get from other providers, and they're just essentially going to be original content. I mean, that's going to be, which is mostly what I go to Netflix for anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I never think to go to them for a movie now, for instance. I know they have movies, but, you know, they have so much original content. That's why I'm there.
I hear you. All right. Some birthdays for you guys. Calvin Harris, Tiesto, Little John, Michelle Obama, Zooey Deschanel, Kid Rock, Betty White, James Earl Jones, Steve Harvey, and Jim Carrey. That's
why
a
is
lot.
That not the cast of the new Celebrity Big Brother?
Right?
Also, also good Expendables.
That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Kevin, Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello?
What are you saying?
Which one for you? Which one is your favorite of those two?
I don't. I've never watched either.
Really? Oh, you're going to love the Laurel and Hardy movie that Jensen was just talking about.
I wasn't the least bit interested until Jensen said how good it was.
Great movie.
Okay. And then I was like, okay,
the
maybe
trailer's just phenomenal.
Maybe I should watch that.
Yeah. All right. Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, or The Three Stooges?
Don't watch Three Stooges.
What did you watch? Did you were into anything funny? What, you just watch all dramas? And
no, I didn't. For the most part, when I was younger, I didn't watch TV at all. Huh. I didn't watch anything.
I don't think I'd be able to tell you who was who. If you put all those shows, like, I was going to say Manny, Moe, and Jack. That's not them.
Moe, Curly, and Larry.
Yeah, I think I'd recognize them, but I don't think Laurel and Hardy. I know one guy was long and thin. The other guy was, like, short and stout.
Yes.
Stan Laurel was the thin one, and Oliver Hardy was the big one. Yeah.
And who was the other pairing?
Abbott and Costello.
Similar vibe.
Yeah, similar. Bud and Lou, right.
Yeah.
Wow, they're...
Bud and Lou?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lou Costello and Bud Abbott. This is the golden age of American comedy duos, you guys.
Was it?
Did you guys ever watch, like, Buster Keaton or...
No.
Charlie Chaplin, Kevin?
Nope.
One of the greatest filmmakers of all time ever.
He's the one with, like, a little Hitler stash, right?
Being stoked to run a comedy show, man.
Charlie Chaplin, Kevin? No Charlie Chaplin in your life?
Have you met me?
He had the cane and he'd swing the cane.
I know who they are.
Right? Little Tramp, yeah.
Okay. Little Tramp?
That's what he went by.
Really?
But you've never seen any of his movies?
Why'd he go by Little Tramp?
Why is that such a big deal?
Can you guys move on?
Different meaning. No.
Dave, I'm sticking with this. Dave's so angry.
I don't know, but I'm with Dave.
Dave, this is the comedy. This is a definition of comedy in a comedy show. We're just trying to figure out where we all stand.
Right. Is it because it's black and white, Kevin? Is that what it is?
It's very possible. I don't watch old stuff. It's very possible that's it.
But you know stuff isn't bad just because it's old. And you know stuff isn't good just because it's in color
and new,
right?
It's too funny. Too funny for
him. It's too funny, right. That's my problem.
All right. I just got to thinking about that kind of comedy because of what Jensen was just telling us about the Laurel and Hardy movie. And that's what made me start thinking about some of these other entertainers that
I mean, it'd be sad if people just forget about them, you know?
Sure.
How about the Marx Brothers?
Nope.
Jesus Christ. They were so good.
They invented the airplane.
All right. Allie is here. She's time to bring it back to 2019. It's time for What's Happening on K-Rock.
Well, this is pretty 2019. However, they've been doing this for years, and I didn't know about it. Granted, we don't have White Castle here. But are you aware that White Castle for Valentine's Day does an annual Valentine's Day sit-down dinner? A reservation that guarantees you host a seating, tableside service, festive decorations? What? I love this so much. They had more than 30,000 people experience that joy on Valentine's Day 2018. So they're, of course, doing it again, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of love that.
What'd you say? It was White Castle, right?
White Castle, yeah.
We don't have White Castles, right?
We don't.
No. Okay, so that's you can't do that for Valentine's Day.
No.
All right.
But remember at Comic-Con when Taco Bell did the sit-down dinner?
Yes.
I feel like that would be like a really, like a hit if they did that. Like they do the white tablecloth, everything for Valentine's Day, just for the story alone, right? Am I alone in this? Is that weird?
No, I don't think so. I think that's fine.
I mean, listen, I know. I don't
think it would pass for Valentine's Day. I think that would be considered not enough.
I had heard,
you know,
I mean, he's our guest tomorrow, Paul Scheer, but Paul Scheer tells a story where he was brought into Jack in the Box to help them create like a late night setup in their restaurants where after midnight they were going to dim all the lights and put neon and make it like a club and there was going to be a DJ.
Stop it.
Yeah. And Deadmau5 was going
to
be part of it.
I would go to that.
I would totally go to that.
And like all the food was going
to
be like late night stoner slash
like munchy
whatever.
Stuff. Yeah.
They did that. They ended up making like a kind of a
like the dollar menu.
Yeah, campaign
stuff,
around that, but like they didn't do the whole like nightclub restaurant thing.
Oh man.
But how great would that have been?
And Deadmau5, he could have just done the
head,
the jack head.
Yeah.
Right?
That's funny.
Sure.
I think for the right couple, that Valentine's Day at White Castle would be perfect for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's people out there to whom that would appeal to,
for sure.
I can't imagine being Mariah Carey's assistant would be easy, but she is suing her ex-assistant over alleged blackmail.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah, she's claiming that the now fired employee secretly recorded her doing embarrassing things and is threatening to release the footage if she didn't pay her $8 million. So Mariah Carey hired Liana Azarian in March 2015 and claims that she started running up her credit card for personal purchases, using the singer's goodwill to get deep discounts on things. How much do you think in 2015 Miss Azarian was making a year to be Mariah Carey's assistant?
Great question.
Yeah, because I bet
I would assume nothing, right?
I bet she could afford millions, but
right.
cheaps out on that and is hiring somebody for $50,000 a year.
I say 65.
I say 30.
I would agree with all of you. That's why I was shocked to find out she was earning $327,000.
Worth it.
That's what I'm saying.
Spit on me, queen.
I am saying take it.
Step on my neck or whatever kids say. I'll let you do whatever.
$327,000.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's unreal.
That job.
I was not expecting that.
No.
You know what? That job seems great.
Right?
I'll
take it.
Oh, yeah. I'll be tortured for that.
What was it you told us, Allie? What was her weird thing that she did when she came in late at night? She made her assistant wake up the kids to come out to see mommy after she came in at 3 a.m. or something. Do you remember?
Oh, my gosh.
Like that
was a news story.
Really?
I knew that news story, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Like she wanted to see her kids awake and in front of her every night, no matter how late she came in, and the people had to go in and
how dare you put them to bed at a reasonable time?
Right, like, I read that
it's
too.
2 a.m. I want to play with them.
Yeah.
Why is my 6-year-old in bed at 3 a.m.?
Yeah. That's cuckoo.
I bet you get a lot of wacky requests if you're Mariah Carey.
Of course, because she's crazy.
I know it's easy to bash on Nick Cannon or whatever, but when I see him, I just see what could have happened during those days.
Yeah.
Like, what did he put up with?
Right. Right.
She was just in the news yesterday. I think somebody was asking her about the 10-year challenge, and she said, and I think the quote was, "Time is not something I acknowledge."
I think Mariah Carey said.
Well, it's actually kind of beautiful. She tweeted the 10-year challenge yesterday.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yes, and it was two of the exact same picture.
I love that.
And she wrote, I don't get this 10-year challenge. Time is not something I acknowledge.
Okay, so she's making a joke then.
She wrote, picture taken at some point prior to today.
She has a funny publicist.
Yeah, I
don't. You don't think Mariah Carey's up in the Three Stooges, Buster Keaton legacy? No, okay.
Well, Kevin wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know that.
Just trust us.
Good stuff, you guys. And I was trying to get to this story earlier, never got to, if you listen to a prior one. Julia Roberts is not going to be back for Amazon's second season of Homecoming. She will, however, remain on board as an executive producer. And Homecoming is on my list of shows to watch because Bean loved it so much.
It was
such a good show. So many people loved it. But I had texted Bean yesterday and I said, is this shocking or did we know she might not come back? And that's where Bean picks it up.
Oh, I'm supposed to say my part?
Yes.
Without spoiling.
I didn't know that she wasn't coming back. Okay. I did not realize that. But based on the storyline that went through season one, I guess I'm not surprised that they might look for a different story that they could tell. I think that story kind of did run its course.
Okay.
But it was very compelling. I think you'll like it. Well, because it had a lot of good actors in it, in an interesting plot line.
Why?
Because that's what they do with a television show, is they try to make something that you're going to want to watch.
Why?
Because that's how you get ratings, is if you can get eyeballs on your channel.
Wow. Okay. Why?
Okay, no, you can't go back to why.
Do what I want, man.
Do you guys remember when you did that to me? No. It was my first story during a fill-in doing What's Happening. And the
You're so gay.
Yep, sure were. The whole segment was that. And I had to keep responding to him.
I kissed a girl.
And that's great to know, but not really what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
I know, it's exciting. But the whole thing, and they wouldn't let it go.
Giddy up.
Yep.
So glad you dig me.
I don't know if that's what I'm saying, but maybe.
Rodney on the Rock, how you doing? I'm doing okay.
All right.
Ooh.
Bean?
Oh, really? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I drink your milkshake. Girls love sex. All right. Okay. Don't forget to rock the vote this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Get there early.
Oh, no. This is not.
You got to, you know, do something. Black president.
No, nope.
It's up to you.
Oh, no.
Me and all of us.
What?
Black president.
Well, that was 18
to vote. Shake some action.
Shake
I hope
some action.
All get out there. Shake some action and rock the vote. Just think, when I'm on next week, we'll have a new president elected. I hope we really need something to shake. Some action. Get the black president.
Oh my God.
Get out and vote Tuesday. Start early and should go on to around 8 or 9 o'clock. And I'll say goodnight. And next week, we'll have a new black president.
I don't think that's how it works, Robbie. Jesus. Thank you, though.
Just to wrap this up, how about
he died too young, by the way, if I could just say that.
He is still alive, guys.
R.I.P. Bigenheimer.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
It's Coachella. Mm.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. I'm out of here.
All right. Good.
You guys done?
What? Hey,
good night.
What?
Go dueling.
I'll get some sleep.
Right.
Good. I doubt it. Right. Never get sleep Never where get... I live.
Right.
I'm a robot. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm out of here. And hopefully everything will work out. And be safe and sane on Halloween. And
what are you talking about?
Those apples with the razor blades in them.
Rodney, we got to go, but where can we keep up with your activity?
It's www.facebook.com.
Okay.
.com
right.
/
oh.
R and wait. All one word.
What?
R O T R K R O Q.
R O
It's www.facebook.com dot Facebook dot com
what?
/ R O T R K K-R-O-Q.
There has to be an easier way to say that.
You're all going to hell.
My God.
Oh, it was us saying that.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Well,
good question.
She has passed.
That's rock and roll. What can I say?
For some, yeah. Let's talk some birthdays. We've got Jim Carrey, Steve Harvey, James Earl Jones, Betty White, Zooey Deschanel, Kid Rock, Michelle Obama, Calvin Harris, Lil Jon, and Tiesto. Nothing?
Jesus.
And Jesus.
Is it his birthday today as well? I don't think so.
I mean, every day is his birthday.
Yes. Okay. Kiss, kiss, bang, 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 bang.
Okay.
I don't like where this is going.
Pretty Little Face.
Okay.
Okay.
69.
Nice. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. If you missed any part,
forever.
If you missed any part of today's show, including RJ Bell talking about the Rams and Saints, Animal Stories was on today's show. Bean, for some reason, bought 150 pair of socks. If you want to get any of that, you can get the entire show on today's podcast at krock.com or radio.com on your drive home. And tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Keep It 100. We have actor Paul Scheer, one of our favorites.
Yay.
A brand-new internet roundup and nudists. What's up? Tomorrow morning.